Oh, what a beautiful day it is today. And it's a wonderful day to be on the radio. Unfortunately, some folks just don't have commitment issues. I have a couple of guests that kind of flaked out at the last minute. I'm not really sure if they're technical issues or if they're not, but we're going to be on the air anyway. This is Captain Fred. This is the Fifth Dimension. And we are live on Republic Broadcasting Network today, August the 21st of the year 2022. I like to put those things in because there's some way to identify whether we're in the past part of the fifth dimension or the present. We're in the present of the fifth dimension right now. I'm going to open the phone up for calls immediately because I had intended on a guest that we were going to discuss the medicinal uses of cannabis. And it's not something that we can, I can't really get into that right now because I'd like to bring his expertise to it. But we will get into that eventually. The number to dial in here is 512-248-8252. Again, that's 512-248-8252. And my plan B has always been to fall back on my father's book that he published almost 50 years ago because it always has something that is so reminiscent of the condition that exists today, which I think folks need to realize that this isn't what's going on right now is just a different version of what they've done to us now for thousands of years. Chapter one of The Rise and Fall. Since the Babylonian captivity, there has existed a determined behind the scenes, under the table, atheistic, satanic, anti-Christian force, worshippers of Mammon, whose undying purpose is world control through the control of money. At the time of Christ, they were known as the Sanhedrin. Christ advised us of their true identity and character when he said, "Them who say they are Jews, but are not, and do lie, and ye of the synagogue of Satan." That's pretty useful information for us today. Them who say they are Jews, but are not. Because everybody has a tendency to use the word Jews as a encompassing term for the people that, or the race that is trying to control the world. But I think most people will agree with me that there's as many stupid Jews as there is stupid Christians or stupid Muslims that are duped into serving the purpose of the controllers. Then and now, some adopted the cloak of Christianity and some the Yiddish dialect. So long as Christ devoted his teachings to morality, he was undisturbed. However, he was hanging on his cross 3 days after he overturned their tables and bodily ejected them from the temple with his whip. You know, I think today if you go into a bank and you use a whip to drive out people, you're liable to go to jail or worse, who knows. His death and resurrection to the world for all time, his immortality as well as his salvation of all Christianity by grace heretofore and hereafter. So let's get the record straight. This book is aimed entirely at the Sanhedrin of today. The 12 men who run this country from behind the scenes. We know that their top echelon can be found among, number one, the Class A stockholders of the Federal Reserve System. The Class A stockholders of the Federal Reserve System. A lot of people didn't really think much about there being separate or different classes of stockholders of that system, but yes, there are. Number two, the Council on Foreign Relations. That's still going around, isn't it? Number three, the Open Market Committee. Open Market Committee. I guess those are the same people that moved a lot of our industry to China, into foreign countries. And number four, the tax-free foundations. Number five, the National Council of Churches. The World Court. Number seven, the principal stockholders of the Bank of England. Number eight, news magnates. I wonder who that would be these days. Would it be the owners of Charter Communications, maybe? That's a magnate, isn't it? I think that happens to be, what's his name? Soros? I've heard that name before. The news magnates. And here's one that I read this earlier, and it said, number nine, controllers of the ether waves. Were there ether waves? 1975 is when this book was published. Maybe they meant air broadcast or television. Number 10, international financiers headquarters in Paris, Frankfurt, Moscow, London, New York, Italy, and Switzerland. Number 11, advisors to presidents and the Business Advisory Council. Man, you know, they named everybody. The Sanhedrin of today, as in Christ's day, is composed of a mere handful of men, atheistic worshipers of mammon, some of whom call themselves Christians, some so-called Jews, as a means of hiding their identity. So anyone who classifies this book or the author as anti-Semitic is blasphemous to God Almighty. Man, I don't know. That's a pretty strong statement there. My dad had some pretty strong views on those people, didn't he? And he passed away about 7 or 8 years ago, and I sure miss him. July the 1st of 1776, the serpent again raised its head in an underground secret society known as Illuminati, founded by Adam Weishaupt. There is considerable documentary evidence to prove that all revolutions, wars, depressions, strikes, chaos stem from this source. When Weishaupt joined hands with Kolmar, the worldwide movement became known as the Illuminati. Zionist conspiracy. Zionism is not a Jewish organization. The elite guard are also known as the international bankers, whose identity is a deep, dark secret. The camel got his neck inside the American tent through the person of the great dreamer, Woodrow Wilson, in 1913. Up to that point, we prospered under our great constitution like no other nation in history. We were respected throughout the globe, and our national indebtedness was only $10 billion. Although the founding fathers specifically laid down in the Constitution that the Congress alone should have the all-power rights to issue and control our money, Wilson delegated that sacred right to the private corporation through the Federal Reserve Act. In that same year, he also created the 16th Amendment, graduated income tax, tax-free foundations, and changed our foreign policy from the Monroe Doctrine to interventionism. Those four deviations have brought this great republic to the brink of disaster. In any free enterprise system, a republic form of government, in addition to administration, has three and only three functions: control of money, military, and mail. Any nation that does not administer those three functions is destined for the scrap heap. Congress has delegated money control to a private corporation, military control to the United Nations, and like expressed readiness to delegate the mail to private hands, you wonder now why we're going down the drain. 6 months after Wilson ratified the Federal Reserve Act, we were involved in World War I, where we had no business and from which we gained nothing. The international bankers created World War I, the League of Nations, Versailles, and Palestine. Their policy is to bleed white financially and physically. Their greatest obstacle was one worldism, is the USA. Oh, I read that wrong. Their greatest obstacle. Yeah. That was the one world obstacle, is the USA. Everything appeared in order, so the world revolution was launched in 1917 when the international bankers financed the expedition of Lenin's sealed train from Europe to Moscow, as well as Trotsky and his 196 disciples from the Lower East Side of New York, better known as the Banker's Blueprint for Ruin. A mere handful of well-trained Bolsheviks liquidated the czars and millions of white Christian Russians and have controlled their affairs to this day. Patton well knew that the Russian people were not our enemy, but were controlled by gangsters posing as our ally. He asked Ike for permission to take 50,000 boys into Russia to remove the tyrants. The world knows what happened to that great general. Senate Report number 346 places the blame for every boy lost in World War I squarely on the shoulders of the international bankers. Could we ask for better documentation? Undoubtedly, a similar investigation of World War II and the Korean War would arrive at the same conclusion. Fortunately, we had some real Christian Americans in the Senate who voted down the League of Nations. So it was necessary for FDR to duplicate the same pattern. World War II, United Nations, and Israel, all of which succeeded. Senator McCarran stated, "Until my dying day, I regret voting for the United Nations Treaty." McCarran, of course, was from Nevada. Then the Supreme Court was packed. The Congress was passed and the Constitution was nullified by thousands of treaties and executive agreements. And that's what happens today. Our Constitution is nullified by executive agreements and treaties. The Supreme Court of California has ruled that the Constitution has been superseded by the United Nations as law of the land. Article 6, Section 2 of our once cherished Constitution provided the death trap for itself. This article said in part, "And all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." The United Nations has launched trial run takeovers of 9 cities in California, 1 in New York, and 1 in Texas. With U.S. troops, they have launched new methods of taking over countries and municipalities, metro governments, and urban renewal. They will appoint sheriffs, mayors, and other officials rather than the people electing them. After squandering the flower of our manhood and succumbing to $1 trillion of indebtedness, the coup de grace was launched in 1951. World War III, without consent of Congress, better known as the Korean Police Action. Folks, I'm going to take a short break. If you'd like to call in, 512-248-8252. It's Captain Fred.
For 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Well, I hope that you've been having the time of your life. Just remember, you gotta always think twice. I remember when I lost my mind. But there was something so special about that day. Even your emotions had an echo. So much space. Yeah. And when you're out there without a care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. No, I just knew too much.
Welcome back. This is the it's a short section before the middle break, and I do have a call. Laura, Michigan. How you doing, Laura?
Hello.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I was going to ask you, do you know who kept the Rothschild Central Bank out of America from 1841 till Wilson put it in?
Who kept it out? I give up. Who?
It's really a great story. Do you remember the campaign slogan, Tippecanoe and Tyler, too? Do you remember that?
I remember hearing that phrase, but my old age is keeping me from remembering a lot. But you have a good voice. Go ahead and tell us everything.
Well, Tyler, as a young boy, his parents were friends with Thomas Jefferson. And he ate at their home quite a bit. And he learned from Thomas Jefferson. Always told him, keep the America a republic, and keep the central banks out of here. So anyway, what happened was, Tippecanoe was a name they had for Harrison, who was running for president, because he was a general, and he had killed some Indians or something. Anyway, 31 days into his presidency, he died of natural causes. So Tyler ended up president. So anyway, the Rothschilds were throwing money around and everything, trying to buy everybody like they do now. And so this Congress put a bill in. They wanted to have a central bank, Rothschild Central Bank. But when Tyler got on his desk, he vetoed it. So then they thought, well, we'll put one in legalese, and maybe he won't read it. Maybe he'll not understand. But it was the same bill. They wanted a Rothschild Central Bank. So he vetoed it the second time. This is 1841. Now, at that time, the only security that the White House had was the butler. People could throw stones. There was because the Rothschilds got them so mad because they thought the people thought they needed the central bank. They would throw stones at the White House, were yelling and burning Tyler in effigy, and sometimes his family was so scared they'd be hiding under the bed. But he stuck to his gun.
That's what we need now. I think we need politicians to be afraid.
Yeah. Well, anyway, because of his two vetoes, he was able to keep the central banks out from 1841 until Syphilis Wilson put the Federal Reserve in. But they, just like they tried to impeach Tyler, just kind of like Trump type of thing. They couldn't impeach him. So the people who knew liked him and knew he did the right thing. We just have bought off people who were causing the trouble.
I think that they've been doing that for quite a while. Even before that.
Now they have people thinking that it was called the do-nothing president, Tyler. He did something big. That was very big, keeping the Federal Reserve out for all those years.
Well, is there?
I thought that it was a really great story.
Is there help for us now, though? The Federal Reserve has just finished printing $7 trillion and giving it to the banks to finance failed businesses by the graft and corruption of the medical industrial complex. They shut down the country. They closed 30% of our small businesses. They printed $7 trillion. You know, I heard that for every $1 billion the individual taxpayer is allowed $700 is what it costs every taxpayer. For every $1 billion that the federal government spends, it costs the taxpayer, or each individual, it costs each individual $700. For each trillion, it's $7,000. With $7 trillion, each individual is in debt $49,000 just in the last 2 years.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
And the international bankers and their front echelon met secretly on St. Simons Island, Georgia, in 1957. They apparently are now confident that the completion of their one world dream under international law, exercised through the UN and or NATO, can be accomplished by means of Cold War. Laura, I think people are still trying, people don't realize that what we're fighting is has been going on for a long time. Where Harrison and Tyler had some success holding off the international bankers, Wilson sold us out. And
yes.
Wilson sold us out, and FDR was a tool for the international bankers too. He created the debt. He took away the gold. He created the fiat currency. But they said, my father wrote about this 50 years ago. It says right here, there is one element that they have not been able to digest as yet, the hardcore patriots, who not only understand their soft soap double talk, but will stand up against them. FDR experimented with the eradication by incarcerating 22 of the staunchest Christian Americans in Washington, D.C. for 4.5 years, known as the Mass Sedition Trial. Did you remember anything about that? Because I don't recall.
No, I don't. I did not.
The courts were unable to convict them. Another method had to be devised through following chain of events. This reads a little bit weird here, but you know the courts have been taking down patriots, just like this sedition trial that they're staging on January 6th. This was in 1957. I think that our representative government is due for a tune-up. You know, my friend...
Absolutely.
My friend Captain Chris and I have, over the years, promoted and advocated for a convention of states. I know you don't hear much about it. A lot of people say, well, you know, convention states, we're liable to lose what we have. But I think we've already lost what we have. The only thing
because
we
could... Because they call it the con-con, you know.
The con-con.
Get conned into losing Second Amendment.
Well, I think de facto we actually have. I think the jure power says that we do have that, right? It's a de facto power that these rights are being manipulated out of our hands by these events. The events of these, well, they're doing the same thing. They're creating public opinion with all the Black Flag events that they have, Laura.
Actually, I think the Second Amendment's gotten stronger. Look how many states now have concealed carry or open carry. I think it's gotten stronger.
I believe you're right about that, but I think that overall people are afraid of what they may have to do if they do carry. I think people are reluctant to defend themselves these days. Don't you?
Well, the tree of liberty has to be watered with the blood of tyrants every so often.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Hey, Laura, I've got another call I want to take. I sure do appreciate
okay.
you calling. You know, that's something to think about, that there were actually patriots that did fight off the international bankers for quite some time. I appreciate you pointing that out. Thanks a lot, Laura. James Vancouver, in Vancouver. How are you doing today, James?
Yeah, doing pretty good. You're talking about the bankers and so on, and I think it's important to remember that when you're in the high-up inner circle of the bankers, okay, they pay each other off in gold. And for everybody else they don't really care about, they pay them off in fiat currency. Thought I'd put that out there.
Well, they just print it. They want to. But, you know,
yeah. It's
interesting that you bring that up. There is a term in international law that's called odious debt. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I believe so, but help me out here.
Well, odious debt is a term that when a regime accumulates debt illegally, and the banks that loan the money know that it's illegal, well, then that debt is declared odious, and the population of the country that the regime is controlling is not liable for that debt.
Yep.
I believe that odious debt is something that we need to be thinking about right now.
Right.
The term of odious debt applies to the bankers that have printed the $7 trillion that our government has printed in the last 7 years, and they distribute it to the bankers so that they can loan it to people who they've bankrupted. And the banks the banks are the ones that are benefiting by all of it. I think that the odious debt term applies to this.
If I could, I'd like to connect a few dots here regarding what I mentioned just now, and that is if you look at Nazi Germany before the beginning of World War II, the Nazis had to pay for all their arms and armaments and weapons in gold, because the arms dealers, knowing that there was a chance the Nazis would lose, would not take Reichmarks. So at the end of World War II, there was still tons of this Nazi gold hidden around Germany and I think in Switzerland. And I think this is what happened to General George Patton, is he found that gold and powers hiring him. I believe Patton probably wanted to give it back to the German people. And that did not happen. So I heard a gentleman the other day talk about what Patton wanted to do regards prisoners of war, and I believe that's true. But I also think it has a lot to do with the main thing is the gold, right? Because the bankers,
you have to admit, the gold has a center point in all of this banking
right, situation. Right, right. And this is the whole point, is Patton was going to give it back to the German people. Or that would be his intent, because he was that kind of guy. So I just wanted to get that out there, see what people think.
Well, I appreciate you adding that to us, to the show for us, James.
All right.
You know, but The odious debt it's only been applied once. So what we might consider is that this regime that's in control of the United States right now, if it's ever proven that they in court, and it would be an international court too, if they were proven to be a illegitimate regime, then all their debt would be considered odious debt, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And I believe you will find that as push comes to shove, these so-called billionaires and the higher-ups are going to have a catfight about how they're going to get paid off, you see, because there's not enough gold to go around, I mean, to pay that kind of debt off, you see. And they will actually start killing each other for that gold, because the paper means nothing, see. So that might be another thing to think about. So,
well, you know, the intent of paper money is that it is more convenient to carry, and it really depends on the goodwill of the note. I mean, if it's printed from a illegitimate regime, I think we might have a case of it. But I think the problem that we have is that our representatives are bought.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main things that this book points out, is that our representatives have been bought and paid for. And it's been that way for quite some time. And the whole idea of dual citizens, of controlling one country yet being a citizen of another country, that's that in itself is kind of obnoxious. I mean, think about that. You know, if I were a citizen of another country and I wanted to go into, let's just say, Germany and pass laws and regulations that would control that, I think that they would string me up. I don't think it would happen. But the problem that we have in the United States is that our banks control the Congress, they control the media, they control they control everybody's thought. Anyway, James, I appreciate you calling. I've got another call. Let's take Paul in New York. Paul, how are you doing today? Hello, Paul.
I had to wait for the telltale beep that threatened to tear my eardrum. How you doing, Fred?
Well, you know, I had a friend of mine that is one of the most spectacular marijuana growers in the state of Colorado, and has one of the most beautiful farms. And he's like trying to herd cats. He's so busy, he's doing so much, but he's a major proponent for cannabis as medicine, and he's just having a tough time holding a commitment to broadcasting. I mean, you know, a lot of people are afraid to come on international radio like RBN, but I don't know. Tell us what's
the time, because Paul. That's because everybody's afraid of being on the radar, except for me and you. the cannabis deal. It's been a while since we talked about that, but I want to talk about government. I mean, I want to talk about what we're talking about today, or what you've been talking about. And there's some misconceptions about government in general. You know, the whole difference between the de jure and the de facto. Well, the de facto is just a corporation, and their only authority is 10 square miles, which is Washington, D.C. That is not a part of this country. It's a nation state, and that is the only place that the U.S. corporation that has any jurisdiction. Now, when they passed the 14th Amendment, first of all, the 13th Amendment made involuntary servitude unlawful, okay? So everybody was fine with that. They freed the slaves. But then in came the 14th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment stated that all persons born or naturalized are U.S. citizens. Now, the citizens they're talking about are citizens of the federal government, which isn't even in your state. The citizen is the 14th Amendment, federal citizen, which has no rights. They only have privileges. The only right guaranteed to them by the Constitution is the right to dwell on the surface of the United States. The Second Amendment is not a right. It's a protection. It prohibits the government from infringing on a God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now, let me go back for just a second and talk about the 14th Amendment. Because we're all slaves to the 14th Amendment citizen, we're all under voluntary servitude and under a slave contract with the federal government. They are not our servants. It's the other way around. We are theirs. Now, got any questions about what I've talked about so far? Because I want to briefly touch on the Vattel's Law of Nations in a minute.
I'm listening. First of all, the Second Amendment. There's a lot of people are inflamed about the Second Amendment, and I think that's done intentionally. I believe that we exist in a state of total theater in this country. I think that most people get their information from the television, which is asymmetrical. Media is totally controlled, and the government is controlled by the media, I believe. I don't think the government controls it. I think our government is due for a modification. The Constitution, obviously, is not being recognized by any of the people that work for us up there, or are supposed to be working for us. And you're right. We're slaves, but we're debt slaves. And that's why the borders are open, because they need more debt slaves, I think. Go ahead. You finish okay. Your talk.
Right. Well, that's another reason why that they have opened the borders. And, well, that is a can of worms in and of itself, because none of those guys are mandated to have jabs. Why? Because the countries they're coming from have not agreed to waive liability for Pfizer and for Moderna, because those companies can't skate on the responsibility. They're not going to give those jabs to those people. They're certainly not going to try and mandate it. But Vattel's Law of Nations, it was ratified by or accepted by the UN in 1948. And it basically states, I'm paraphrasing here, it states that all peoples have the right to determine their own political status and to decide for themselves what system of government that they will be governed by, what laws they will abide by, and what associative duties they will be responsible for. So we can claim and declare freedom from the 14th Amendment by claiming state citizenship and not federal protection. Because the 14th Amendment was just to protect the freed black slaves from the states that didn't want them freed in the first place. So the 14th Amendment said, okay, well, they're now U.S. federal citizens, and they're protected by the federal government and the U.S. Marshals. So the states better not mess with Otis, because he's one of our guys now. That's what the 14th Amendment was. It was to protect freed slaves from oppressive states in which they lived. But they used that same amendment to enslave everybody and to make us all debt slaves. And they bankrupted the country with the wars. They switched over from a republic form of government to a de facto corporate government in, 1933? Something like that. They called in all the gold, because as a slave, if somebody has a property interest in you, you're a slave. You cannot own property. If somebody has a property interest in you, like under the 14th Amendment, you cannot hold property. You cannot own gold, cannot own silver, you cannot own land or real estate. That's why you have a title deed. You don't have an allodial title where you actually own the land, everything above and everything below. You have a certificate that grants you the privilege to dwell on the surface, so long as you follow all of the little rules, regulations, and everything else that the code enforcers are going to hang on your front door. You get a certificate of title for your automobile. Why? Because when you bought your car and you did the title work on that car to register it, you're actually transferring ownership of that car over to the state. And what you get is a certificate of title, which gives you the permission to operate that car, so long as you operate it within the rules and constraints of who? The state that owns that car. You see how intertwined, interwoven, and truly enslaving this whole thing has been since the 1930s, 40s, and 50s? And don't even get me started on when the Federal Reserve Act was came about.
Well, see, that's what I was reading from this book. That's 50 years ago, and a lot of people don't recall the mass sedition trial back in the 50s. I don't recall that. But there was a group of people that spent 4.5 years in prison because they didn't like what was happening in this country. They wanted the Constitution to be followed. The Constitution has been circumvented by the government that we have right now. Guns are registered anyway. I mean, if everybody buys a gun, it's registered, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to.
You don't have to. That's right.
I've
held all my guns down and made plowshares out of them. But that's
enough. Well, if you're a 14th Amendment citizen and you want to be able to possess a gun, yes, you have to register it. But if you duck out from under the 14th Amendment citizenship and you become a national, then you're not required. You're not required to register any gun or follow any statute, act, or code that applies to them. You're not required to follow any rules of the road, so long as you conduct yourself responsibly and do no harm. I mean, you go back to the common law, do no harm. Honor your contracts and don't jack anyone's stuff. You know, that's what happens when you become a national. What happened with the ones that were locked up is they were standing in the way of the takeover of the country. And how that occurred was the country was sent into bankruptcy through the formation of garbage wars. And one side borrowed money from Britain, the other side borrowed money from France, and then they defaulted on those loans. So the country was bankrupt. The original representative government was declared insolvent, and the only way they could keep the land would be to sell it off to the bankers who securitized the birth certificates, the social security numbers, and the citizenship and for the future earnings of the citizens. We're the collateral for the United States dollar. It's not on the gold anymore.
Right, the chains of our slavery are really complex.
Yeah, we are now the collateral for the United States dollar, and it's not even a dollar, it's a debt instrument, and every time the Federal Reserve prints a dollar and loans it to the federal government to be distributed, there's an interest charge attached to that dollar, and that interest cannot be paid with a Federal Reserve note. It can't. Debt cannot be used to discharge debt. You have to use real lawful money to pay for that debt. So the national debt is the interest on all of the dollars that have been in circulation since the, what, 50s? And it can only be paid in gold. Who's going to do that?
Well, that's why I think the term odious debt is really applicable. I think that when the citizens, if they discover that we can create a different way of governing, not necessarily, I mean, you know, back when they created a republic or representative government, there it was impossible for everybody to get together in the same hall and have a discussion about it. But I think that the internet, I think the computer didn't exist back then, and I think that we don't really need representatives anymore. It obviously, if they can be bought so easily, and well, I hear music. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back. Paul, hang on for a little while. We'll be right back. This is Captain.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we're asleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world. It's my
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.